There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Daydream, why do you haunt me so?
The Luxury Lookout.
Makes me want a cup of tea hearing that.
It's a lovely song, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely lovely. To go with a lovely person who's in studio with us, and that is Sarah Headley-Hymers from Condé Nast Traveller Middle East. Hello, welcome back.
Hello.
Hello.
How
hello.
Are you?
How are you?
You're looking a bit normal today.
A bit normal?
I gotta
do I normally look weird?
You normally look interesting from a Vivian Westwood style fashion point of view.
Oh, okay. I'm in Mango today. Shopping in Portugal, so everything's Mango. Mango and Adidas.
Is that where you've just been, to Portugal?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. I'll be telling you a little bit about that later.
Looking forward to that. Should we start with what's online this week?
Yes, let's. So I'm encouraging everybody to go to my YouTube channel. So Condé Nast Traveller Middle East is our YouTube channel. So I'd like everybody to go over and subscribe. I have a little TV series on there called 60 Second Sweet Tour. And I am also introducing the world to Javora. Have you heard of Javora?
Javora, no, I've not come across that.
It's the world's tallest hotel, and it's just opened in Dubai. And we used to have the world's tallest hotel.
Yeah, that was the Marriott Marquis.
Well done, yes. Mm. And this is 1.23 meters, to be precise, to quote the general manager. So I went down to meet the general manager with my film crew, and we've done a guided tour, and I went to see the certificate, because I've never seen one of those in real life, a Guinness World Record certificate.
Oh.
Comes all nicely framed.
Yeah.
And it's on their counter.
Yeah, in fact, we had the guy from Guinness World Records at the Festival of Literature, and we interviewed him on one of the shows.
Yeah,
and yeah, he was telling us about this hotel.
I bet Dubai keeps him busy.
Oh, it does. Yeah, we've got plenty of records here, I'll tell you. So, do you feel that headiness of that bit being that bit higher?
Yeah, I mean, the view is amazing, and they've got it quite the pools on the top, so you've got that pool area, and your sun loungers are up there, and you can see 4 miles. It's an amazing view, and it's quite an interesting hotel. It's part of this new trend of upscale 4 stars, so that's like a really big growing trend now.
I just had a stupid thought, but if the pool is higher,
yeah,
therefore closer to the sun, does that mean that the water may evaporate quicker?
Yes, probably.
I'm sure they've got it covered, Steph.
Oh, how does your mind work? I'd love to be inside your mind just watching it all tick
over. They'll have a guy with a bucket topping it up.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a nice hotel. It's a dry hotel, so it's in line with cultural sensitivities.
It's because the pool's so high. It's all evaporated.
That's what reminded me. But yeah, so on YouTube, if you go to YouTube, you can see that. That's my guided tour. So,
got to laugh at this 4-star thing, by the way, because any like 3 or 4-star you go to in Dubai is way better than any 5-star you go to.
It is, yes.
In England.
I think if it was in the UK, it would be a 5-star. And I also, on the interview, I ask the GM how it becomes a 4 or 5-star, because the star rating is decided by your country. And in Dubai, it means you've got to have a B-day and things like that. So that's the difference. So there's a very small sort of, you've got to have a mirror in the bedroom. You've got to have like, there's like a checklist that they've got to go through, and there's certain things that they have most of them, but there's one or two that they don't have. But yeah, it's a big thing now with Rove and Aloft and all of those, these upscale 4 stars. But yes, because they're in Dubai, they're competing with a much more elevated version of the star rating than you would find in Britain, which is totally different.
So what would you put it, 4.5 or 4.75?
Dubai standard, totally 5, but in the four, but in the UK, it would probably get a 5.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's very nice, and it's going to be, and it's in a good location down on the Sheikh Zayed Road, and I think it will get that interest just because it's, you know, the world's tallest, and it's privately owned and managed, which I think is really interesting. And I find hotels like that often have a lot more personality than the bigger chains. You know, they've got a bit more of a unique. I mean, it's not a boutique hotel by any stretch, obviously, but I find those hotels quite interesting. So yeah, you can have a full look around the place. I go everywhere, in the gym, in the pool, in the rooms. So that's all on YouTube. On our website, cntravellerme.com, we are looking at the happiest places in the world because it's been Happy Day this week.
It has. International
Day of Happiness, which Dubai has thoroughly got behind with their journey, or that UAE, in fact, the journey to happiness. And do you know what the happiest country in the world is?
I think, well, we were talking about this the other day on the Radio Book Club. Is it Denmark?
Close, but
Saudi Arabia.
No.
It's one of the Scandinavian countries.
It's always one of the Scandinavian countries. Well, I say Scandinavian, it's Finland, and only part of Finland is in the Scandinavian peninsula. But yeah, so I was like, oh, okay, it knocked Norway off the top spot. And so I've been investigating Finland this week, and it was a very interesting rabbit hole to fall into. So I'm now going to go for my summer holidays, I've decided. So interesting things about Finland. It is the home to the wife carrying championships, which is an international event that attracts people from all over the world, as far as Japan.
Seen this.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, right? Like, you got to put your wife over your shoulders and you got to do 13 obstacles, some in water, some over land. But they take it like really seriously.
It'd be better if they did the husband carrying championships.
Yeah, I think they should level that playing field.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm thinking if your wife's taller than you are, it's going to be a bit of a struggle, that, isn't it? You know, especially the underwater.
Oh, it's a proper fitness activity. No, it's an interesting sport. I'll be trying to coincide my trip to watch that.
Today is International Day of Forests.
It is, yes.
Is that true? Is that actually a thing?
It is. It was set up by the United Nations. And so we've got the 20 most tree-filled places in the world if you want to know where to go for absolute greenery.
Number one, Canada, I would guess.
Suriname. Yeah, so it's more sort of Pacific Ocean and Caribbean. That's the tree-iest places. The tree centres of the world. So happy Tree Day to all tree lovers. That is today. We're talking about Saudi. It's about to get new tourist visas. So we're looking forward to seeing what that unfolds. There's a lot of rumours going around that there will be electronic visa application, that younger people are allowed to go and that women will be allowed to go unaccompanied. So we'll be seeing what happens. We think we're going to get the announcement on the 1st of April. So we've got that up there. Busy week online. And we've got... we've got three luxury lookouts for you as well this week.
Daydream, why do you haunt me so?
The Luxury Lookout.
Dream. We are going to spend some cash in the next half an hour, aren't we?
Really? Have you got any?
No. That's not. Sarah Headley-Heimers is here from Condé Nast Traveller Middle East, rifling through her paperwork and looking for something that's going to cost us a lot of money.
Everything costs a lot of money on the Luxury Lookout, unfortunately. But I am going to start saying that's a little cheaper than my usual offerings. So we've got an entry level here. So Airbnb, they have launched Airbnb Plus.
Okay.
So this is their new luxury offering, which is their strategy after their anniversary to go in more aggressively against the hotel market. Now, I think it's actually quite disturbing because it lists one...
Disturbing?
Disturbing because... Storm? Because... It lists 100 criteria that you have to be part of Airbnb. And these are things that I just think should be as standard.
Okay, let's start. What's number one?
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Don't do all 100.
I won't. But, I mean, there's just things like, you know, all cabinets and counters have to be organised and clutter-free. Wires and cables for electronics have to be organised and hidden from sight. I mean... I'm not an Airbnb-er. I dipped a toe in the water this year and then jumped out. So, yeah, I just think the list of things that are on Airbnb Plus should just be the list of things that are in Airbnb.
Why did you jump out? Did you have a bad experience?
It wasn't a desperately bad experience. It was just a bit of a surprise because, like I say, I would think that if I was going to rent my place out, I would have these things in place. Things like, you know, clean surfaces and stuff like that would just be standard. So I went to Lisbon and I stayed in a 5-star hotel, and then on the same street I stayed in a luxury Airbnb. So it was the most expensive one I could find on Airbnb. It was for my brother's birthday, so I wanted it to be nice and special. And I got there and it was just a little bit embarrassing. So it was like, thank you. So there was a lot of, there was mould up the wall, the showers flooded on the first day. It was a very wet, cold week in Lisbon, which is very rare. There was no heaters. There was no heaters on the walls. There was no heating in the whole apartment. So it was very cold, very wet. In the picture, there was armchairs and things in the lounge. And this place was meant to sleep 14, but there was only seating for 4 in the lounge. So just things like that, I just think, oh, okay. And then something that they didn't disclose, some of the access to the bedrooms was through another bedroom. Now, fortunately, I had sort of my brother, his wife, and then, you know, their daughter. So she was happy to walk through their bedroom. But if we hadn't all been family, that would have been quite awkward, right? So I just think things like that should be disclosed.
But isn't that where Airbnb Plus comes in?
Yes. So for me, for me and my brand, that's the only one that I'll be using moving forward, because I just think that should be, if you're renting a place out for stays, this is what it should be. So there are 13 cities. Let's have a look. Good ones to go to now. Spring, we've got Barcelona, Milan and Rome all have Airbnb Plus, and they're all lovely places to go to in the spring. And then they've got London as well, which is great and very popular with UAE travellers for summer. So they're the destinations I would go for, and I would go for Airbnb Plus.
Do you think it's going out of its market, though? Wasn't Airbnb first set up to appeal to, you know, people with a lower income, perhaps, and you don't want to break the bank on your accommodation? So that's what it was set up for. That was the whole reasoning behind it.
Yeah, but I think what's quite interesting, when I was over in Portugal, there's this amazing hostel called The Independent. Absolutely stunning. €13 to €22 a night. And it's got one of the coolest bars, one of the coolest restaurants, one of the coolest roof terraces. It is just on point all over the place. And it's in the Barreiro Alto, which is the old town, which is where all the good stuff happens.
Yeah.
And that is what Airbnb is competing against. So if you've got places like that, that are like just so many shades of awesome, then where is the Airbnb coming in? Because I'm sorry, if you've got to say that, you know, wires are tidied away and that's a luxury offering, then that's not luxury. That's standard to me. So I think Airbnb needs to work on what it's currently doing with its main Airbnb offerings, just to make sure that, you know, if they are meant to be super cheap, they should be priced accordingly and in line with that place. But yeah, if you are looking for budget accommodation, that Hostel Independent is amazing.
Did you write an honest review on your Airbnb after you'd been?
I haven't reviewed it yet, because I'm going to write a review on the actual page so other people can see. And the landlady was very nice, and when we said, look, we're cold and stuff and there's no mirrors in here, can we have it? Because like none of the rooms had mirrors in, so we had to get ready in the hallway. And she was like, oh, that's weird, in 2 years nobody's asked me that. And kind of made me feel very vain that I would expect to have a mirror in my bedroom in order to get dressed, you know. But it's like, dude, these are basics, and what I'm paying you a night, you could buy the armchairs and the mirrors and everything that you need to make this a reasonable property just with one night's rent.
But the question is, will you leave an honest?
Yes, absolutely.
You will?
Yeah. And also, you know, she was very accommodating when we said, we're really cold, can you do something about it? She went and got an electric heater and brought it round. But that wasn't until the sort of, you know, last day of the thing. So it was like, you know, she had to keep on coming around to unblock the, you know, the the flooded bathrooms and all that kind of stuff. So it was just a bit of a rickety old place. And also I noticed with Airbnb, which I thought was very sneaky. I don't know if this is all properties, but there was a clause in our, when we paid, saying if we make any noise past 10 p.m, then we will be automatically fined and the fine will be automatically deducted from our credit card. Now, we couldn't stay in the property because it was too cold. So we were out all day and all night. So when we were coming back in, it was after 10 o'clock. And we had the neighbours telling us, please don't make a noise when we were walking up the stairs. There is no other way to walk up the stairs. You know, you've just got to walk up them. But we were woken daily by one apartment was having drilling, so DIY work going on. And right above my bedroom, there was a child skipping. And I thought, thanks, parents. That's really, you know, like, why don't you just have a game of football up there?
It sounds like you had a terrible experience. It,
like I say, we were out most of the time, and Lisbon is such a fantastic city that, you know, the where we stayed wasn't a big part of it. But yeah, it was... it was not as...
Please try it again, because yeah, I've had some great experiences with Airbnb.
Yeah, nothing standard. It's nothing standard, is it?
Yeah. That's it. It's not standardised.
No. You get what you get on that trip.
Yeah. But you also get to see what people have written about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So did she have many reviews on there that you could have...
Yeah, and do you know what I think as well? I think I'm quite a tough customer because I had... live in a five-star hotel. I review five-star hotels for a living. Like, this is, I'm not easily impressed. So I think, you know, if you'd gone as a student with your mates and, you know, 14 mates, you'd probably think, yeah, man, this is really cool. But I'm a woman in my 40s who works and lives around five-star hotels. So I just think, not super impressive. But like,
you will use Airbnb Plus.
I will give that a try, but I probably wouldn't use Airbnb again. Not until there's something a bit more standardised.
I'm not going to be on the Plus because I'm not in a city. So okay. I can't be on the Plus scheme.
But I think they're going to expand. Is this with your castle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to expand to include more areas. So I think it's just in its rollout phase, but it's going to be much, much bigger than 13 cities. So,
but don't let it put you off, Sarah.
Tell me about good experiences that you've had. Where would you recommend?
I went to a loft in Brooklyn once, which was incredible. And it was so much cheaper than staying in Manhattan. And we had views across to Manhattan, which is amazing. And I also stayed somewhere in London, which was maybe half the price of a nice hotel. And again, that was just a really cool modern apartment.
Yeah.
Next to a little park. We could use the park if we wanted to.
Yeah.
So I've had really good experiences. I have had bad as well. I did once stay with a couple who, when you got there, they said, oh, we just moved downstairs when people come. And they had a two-year-old. It was like they were trying to murder him down there. Like, the noise coming from downstairs. We'd lie in bed in the morning.
That's just too intimate for me.
What's going on? And they would have to kind of come through your life to get out the front door.
But isn't that all on the listing? Doesn't it say, you know, a room within a property?
Well, no, it wasn't, because as they went downstairs, they had a basement where they had an extra front door on.
Right, yeah. So I think there's little technical... It's like the fact that the bedrooms didn't have... you know, private access, that you sometimes had to go through somebody else's room to get to your room. Things like that don't necessarily...
I thought that would have enhanced the holiday.
Wasn't that kind of holiday? But yeah, it's... I think the Airbnb Plus thing will be a good thing.
And is it automatically going to be more money?
Yeah, I've got the prices here. It's not crazy prices. I think it starts at, 735 dirhams will be the average price. So that is, that's a bit higher, isn't it, than your average price on Airbnb now.
Yeah.
But it's not like the highest price. And obviously it'll depend on which city you're in and all that kind of stuff.
Listen to this.
I had a heavy text there. Airbnb is a wannabe pretentious nonsense. Get a proper room in a professional hotel.
Who says that?
There's no name, on it. No name.
I like the idea of if you're going to a place, staying like as if you're resident. So I kind of like the concept of it. So I was looking forward to experiencing it. And like I say, if the person had just spent the rent on, you know, one night's rent on a few things, it would have changed the experience massively. But then I don't know how much Airbnb charge. I know to be an
Airbnb... It's about 6%. they take from you.
Okay, yeah. So that's not that much. Because I was thinking, oh, is the poor woman skint? Is she like, you know, she given 50% to Airbnb? 6%. I don't feel so sorry for her.
Should have left her a big tip and said, get some mirrors and a few, few extra chairs for around the table.
It'll go on the review, Mark. It'll go on the review.
It will. I mentioned it on the review. And things like the armchairs that were in the pictures on the review weren't there when we got there. Hence, there was only a sofa.
That's not good.
She'd moved them downstairs.
Yeah. Well, I think she did have somewhere else in the building because, you know, when we asked for things, she did disappear somewhere and get them, you know?
I find it like all a bit scary.
With the mirror situation, she went and found...
Yeah, you never know. You know, these basements and rooms at the side, you never know what's going on.
Yeah, and it doesn't... The one thing that I will say, though, because I was away with family for a birthday, what was nice was when you go back to a hotel at the end of the night, everybody has to go back to their rooms. There isn't really, you know, the lobby isn't really the sort of place where you can kick back and relax. They're usually quite formal and stuffy in hotels. So that was quite nice that we actually got to sort of spend, you know, some time together in a sort of home environment.
But in absolute silence.
Yeah.
We're going to come back. We're going to smell the cherry blossom when we do.
Daydream.
The Luxury Lookout.
Dream, 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 dream.
Something that used to be on the bucket list of just luxury travellers, and I feel like it's gone a bit more mainstream now. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Sarah's here from Condé Nast Traveller Middle East. Cherry Blossom. I feel like that was something that only people with a bit of money would do in the past, whereas a lot of people are doing it now.
I think because of things like Airbnb, because the expense was in the hotels, because when it is cherry blossom season and the big places are places like Washington, D.C., and the best hotels for that are things like the Mandarin Oriental, that's their peak season. So prices go right up. So I think it's because there are alternatives, these, you know, upscale four stars, these amazing luxury hostels, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's given people more opportunity to go and see cherry blossom. But no, I didn't stay in anything affordable when I was in... Obviously not.
Wouldn't be on this segment if you did.
But this hotel is awesome. So this is the Palace Suite. And it's 35,000 dirhams a night, which is just epic. I mean, that's so many months' salary for some people. So it is crazy expensive. But you can stay in one of the standard suites for 2,000 dirhams a night. And I think with that, you get the hotel is just as good. I don't think you really need to be in the 35,000.
I wonder how you feel if you are the 35,000 people mingling. With the 2,000 Durham people.
I don't think you would mingle because you've got your own private dining room and it can be catered. And I mean, this is where the royals and the politicians
and everybody... They'll have a separate entrance as well, won't they? Surely.
Yeah, and these hotels have different entrances and security systems for when they're taking in VIP guests. So they never need come through the front of the hotel or anything like that. So, yeah, so security is top dollar for these people. So they don't mingle at all.
Wow,
must be lonely at the top.
Yeah.
I've heard it said.
A little window, you know, in the room where they can look down on the lobby and look at the people that are paying the 2,000 checking in.
this hotel is really cool for cherry blossom season because it's one of the very few hotels in Tokyo that has balconies. Very difficult to get a balcony in, and not just the Palace Suite either. About half of the standard suites also have the balconies, and it overlooks the sort of greenest part of Marunouchi. It's in that's the business district, and it's got a lovely 111 postcode, and its next door neighbour is the Emperor. The Imperial Palace is just next door. And what's nice about this hotel is you can have a little sneak peek into the Emperor's backyard. Because Japanese culture famously, fiercely private, and then the royal times that privacy by 100 and you're in that ballpark. So the palace has a huge moat around it and then these huge high walls and then it's kind of forested area and then the palace is in the middle of that. So you get to see a little bit of a sneak peek, whereas people not staying in the hotel would just be walking past and seeing the moat, which is very pretty, but it's nice to have that little spy into there.
Amazing that even he's looked over.
Yes, yes. And
did he give you a wave?
No.
No.
No. It's not that much of a look over.
No. Okay.
But it's as close as you're going to get. It's as close as you're going to get. And I really like this hotel. When you're talking about five-star hotels, it's the little details that differentiate one from the other, because by and large they're beige marble and nice woods. So what I loved about this place is, as well as the slippers and robe, you also get a very Dickensian nightshirt, a full-length cotton button front nightshirt, which is
nice.
Amazing,
super cozy, because it can get a bit chilly in Japan.
It can.
I think people who haven't been there think of it as a warm place, but it can get very frosty in parts. So it has that, and then
Size is it?
Massive.
Oh, good.
I would just describe it as massive. I mean, I say floor length, I'm 5 foot, so probably not floor length on a normal height person.
No, I didn't mean long, I meant like wide.
Oh, super wide, yeah.
So everyone can get in this.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a little blanket in its own right.
Good to know.
So you've got that, and when you come in, the turndown service has a warm, gentle steam eye mask as part of the, and they leave it on your pillow so you can come in, and it's one of these Japanese beauty technology things where you lay it over your eyes and then it naturally heats up and that sends you off into a nice sleep. And things like rose pillow mist and things like that. So they leave little treats on your pillow. So it's a beautiful hotel, and also one of the best teppanyakis I've ever had. Really small, tiny, like 12 people max at a counter, but proper Michelin level stuff. So if you are going for cherry blossom, do try and stay there at least for a couple of days.
Did you get out to see the cherry blossom with a hotel like that?
No, I went in autumn the last time I went, so it was yellow, not pink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I like it yellow. Yellow's my favourite colour.
Okay.
But yeah, now we're just about to come into cherry blossom season. So this is the time to go if you want to see those beautiful pink blooms.
Tokyo Palace Hotel. 2,000 dirham room for me, please.
Yes. Yeah. And there was
Do you think we still get the eye mask in the 2,000 dirham room?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This is just part of, and it's quite cool. It's on top of if you go down into the basement, so obviously the teppanyaki place is super expensive, but if you go down under the hotel, like with a lot of Japan, there's this entire underground world where there's noodle shops and dry cleaners and all this hustle bustle, and you can get food for like $5 down there.
Should you say, someone's just texting, very worried about the nightshirt, to be honest, Sarah. Surely a nightshirt does not cover all of your frosty parts. Don't worry about that. Your feet could get cold.
Yeah, no walking off with a nightshirt, Steph, either.
We also had a text in about Airbnb saying it's about belonging in a new city and seeing the city from the host's eyes. I've had nothing but incredible experiences on Airbnb, which is nice.
Yeah.
Weighs up the other one, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's a very valid point, I think. Mm. That is the allure of it for me, just to have that personal touch. And like I was just saying about five-star hotels, beige, marble, and, you know, oak or teak woods, that's kind of your standard. So there's a lot of personality in Airbnb.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.